behold.
It's the single greatest thing on earth.
Are you listening to me?
Against all odds and defying all logic.
From the Nashville Sports Radio Media Complex, it's the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show. Brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel and by Goggin Cold Hall, the coldest team in town. Call now at 844-5600. Download the WNSR app and take us with you.
It's just a stupid click of a button that takes 2 seconds.
It's patriotic. It's perfect.
Hold your nose because the bull's about to fly.
Now, here's Greg Vogue and News Channel 5's John Burton.
Monday morning to you. How are you doing? Hope you had a great weekend. What a beautiful, beautiful weekend it was. Hey, beautiful day today in the neighborhood. Crazy Charlie, John Burton, Greg Pogue. We are presented by Omni Nashville Hotel and Goggin Cold Hall, coldest team in town. Fellows, what's happening?
Good morning. How are you?
Anything happening?
My goodness, that was a day yesterday. That was a weekend.
A weekend, yeah.
But, I mean, yesterday with the TSU news and the Preds game, that was an exciting game. And final round of the Masters. I mean, my goodness, we got a lot to react to.
Well, where do you want to start? Of course, we're going to get obviously Charlie's going to deep dive into the Predators force here.
I think we got to start with Eddie, don't we?
Yeah, I think so. Can I say something right away?
Yes.
I can neither confirm nor deny any of the reports. TSU has not had an official statement or a timing of a press conference. I did talk to Rod Reed last night. Mm-hmm. Of course, Rod and I have become close over the years. Felt bad for Rod. I think he knew it was coming all along. And so the news reports are out there.
The reports are out there, and most of you know by now it's been widely reported that Eddie George is set to be named the new head football coach at Tennessee State, replacing Rod Reed. Now, the situation with Rod, I feel about Rod the same way you do. I have the utmost respect for him. I tweeted this last night. I respect him as a football coach and a man and a leader of young men, and I think he's fought the good fight for the last 11 years at Tennessee State. As excited as I am to see Eddie George get this opportunity, I feel bad for Rod Reed because I don't know what kind of situation he was put in. I don't know if he was told, before the game yesterday, hey, listen, here's the deal. Do you still want to coach? And maybe he said yes. I don't know. I mean, like I said, you spoke to him. I don't know the nature of your conversation, and I don't know if you're going to reveal it or not, and that's fine. I just felt like Rod Reed was put in a bad situation yesterday. I felt like Dr. Allen or somebody should have at least came out with once Brett McMurphy's report or his tweet came out, I really felt like Dr. Allen or somebody from Tennessee State should have came out and said, listen, we're aware of what's being reported. We are in the process of reevaluating our football program. We have nothing to announce today. We are not confirming anything today, only that Rod Reed remains our coach and he will coach us today. I just felt like Rod was put in a bad situation. So I'm kind of two ways with it. I'm a little torn. I feel bad for Rod and the situation he was put in. It was an awkward press conference after the game. He did his best to kind of control the narrative. Rod did, but it was awkward. It was tough to listen to because of the, the feelings I have for Rod and how much I respect him. So I'm kind of torn. Again, I understand your position. Can neither confirm or deny. We'll obviously find out. It's been widely reported. I mean, it's probably more likely than not that these reports are true and that Eddie George will be the new head football coach. Excited for Eddie, feel bad for Rod. Wasn't crazy about the way TSU handled it yesterday.
Yeah, you and I talked about that too. I can tell you what I do. I know what I know, and I can't do anything until TSU officially comes out.
I completely understand the position you're in.
However, I do know that Dr. Allen has diligently tried to keep the situation done the right way. And I think don't react initially that if there was a leak, that it necessarily came from the TSU side of things. There are a lot of people, a lot of working parts that presumably have been working on this, not only at TSU, not only in who might be the future. It's really weird talking like this.
I understand.
This,
you know? And Greg, let me say this. Yeah. I completely understand the position you're in.
Yeah, I think I'd just be really cautious to put blame on how that all came out because it was in pretty much when something of that big and you have as many people as you have working on something like that, a lot of people know. And just, you know, I know that Dr. Allen was diligent in leading up to all of this and making sure it was done the right way. And so I know, you know, that he didn't like what happened either. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
But,
So,
that's with the Rod. 11 years, had a great run right in the middle. Went to the playoffs in 2013 at 9-3 year, 6-2, got the playoff win. The last three seasons have all been losing seasons. 7-14 in the OVC, his 11th year. Now, you know the saying I like to say, he was fighting a bear with a switch.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Yeah.
He's been fighting a bear with a switch, little to no recruiting budget, in a tough situation. While that league facility-wise kept getting better and better and better, TSU's Hale Stadium did not. They tried to refurbish it, and they put lipstick on a pig, still a pig. And, you know, they played the games at, you know, a couple games a year at Nissan Stadium. So, facility-wise, recruiting budget, he had been fighting.
Plus an inability to have his team, you know, get together and work out during the summer. I know that's been a
no
big
summer
thing.
Schools.
Right, no summer schools.
For four
right.
years.
Right.
So,
right.
yeah, it's been a tough situation there financially for Rod, and Rod did, quite frankly, about as good as he could.
I was going to say, to his credit, you know, he came out and said, listen, at the end of the day, it's about wins, and in the last 3 years, we didn't win enough games. He understands it. He understands the business. But you're right. He was up against it in a lot of areas.
Yeah. So, yeah, he was, like we said, we talked last night. He was cool about it. He, you know, matter of fact, he knows this is his business. He had a great run. What's he going to do? I can talk about that.
Okay.
You know, we talked, and he said, obviously, he doesn't know right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to him. He said, well, what do I usually do after a game? He was still in his office breaking down tape from yesterday afternoon's
right,
game.
Right.
And so, of course, the loss to Southeast Missouri to close the season yesterday afternoon at Hale Stadium. You know, he's got a son, Marcel, who's going to be a junior and one of the top quarterbacks in the country. Everybody's offering. He's one of the top basketball players in the country, but it looks like football is where he's heading. Because if you've seen the young man play, obviously, on TV, doing it in the championship games for Montgomery Bell Academy, he looks like Lamar Jackson.
Oh, he's
that kind of athletic.
He's fantastic. You know, wasn't he the first freshman to start a quarterback in NBA?
Yes.
Do I have that right?
First freshman ever
right.
to
so
start a quarterback.
So he's obviously
there.
Got strong ties to the area and all that kind of stuff.
Well, and his wife and Marcel's mom, she's a guidance counselor at Antioch High School. Mm-hmm. So they've got – I don't think he's any hurry to look for that next thing. The next thing's going to come along. I tell you, there's a lot of – especially HBCUs. You know, he's owned these HBCUs. His record against fellow HBCUs is off the chart.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't be surprised if that. He's got a lot of connections in South Florida.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Texas, got a lot of connections there. Rod's going to land on his feet.
He's going to be fine. It was funny because there was some confusion in the press conference when he said, you know, our season's over. I'm not going to coach this team again. And people are like, oh, well, are you saying that you know that you're not going to be here anymore? He said, no, I'm not going to coach this team anymore. We got some good players coming back next year. So so that got Twitter a buzzing and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, he's a quality coach. He's a quality person. Any football staff would be lucky to have Rod Reed with them. You know, he's a guy that you would trust to do the right things and to coach the right way. So I have no worries about Rod Reed's future. You know, like I said, it's a business. He understands it. And like I said, I'm torn this morning, right?
Yeah.
I'm really happy and excited for Eddie. I think, you know, there's talk of him bringing in Hugh Jackson, maybe to be his offensive coordinator. We'll see what kind of staff he builds. assuming this is all true. But I think it's exciting. And you mentioned HBCUs. Look what they're doing now, Greg. You know, Deion Sanders at Jackson State, Eddie George, we assume, at Tennessee State. That's going to be one hell of a Southern Heritage Classic. You know, that's going to get national TV coverage, right? So that's going to prove. I just love the fact that these guys that played at big schools, Deion at Florida State, Eddie at Ohio State, where he won the Heisman, you know, I think we're going to see this kind of pattern with HBCUs. It started with Jackson State and Deion, now TSU bringing in Eddie George to be their head coach. And for these guys to want to coach at these HBCUs, number one, I think is fantastic. And number two, it's great profile for these programs. And I think we're going to see a snowball effect that, like I said, a lot of these HBCU football programs are going to start bringing in, paying money, bringing in big, well-known name guys. That's going to help your recruiting. That's going to help attendance. That's going to help, you know, advertising. That's going to help so many different fields when it comes to generating revenue for these programs.
What I can report and talk on are the reports. Okay. Yep. And the reports are, as widely reported, that Eddie George is going to be the next TSU football coach. I want to go ahead and get my line out before somebody steals it. Okay.
Yeah. You told me this yesterday. So get it out, own it.
And the thing about Deion in Jackson, Mississippi, no prior connection to the school, to the community, to nothing. Eddie, the connection here is so strong in this community. He's been just so well-liked for so long and very successful with his landscaping and architecture firm that he started.
His, pretty damn good actor, too.
His acting career and all of that. And I said, you know, the difference of if Deion and Eddie recruiting the same student-athlete, same prospect, that you always want to get the mother on your side, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. And the difference between Deion and Eddie is that the mother wants to party with Deion. She wants to marry Eddie.
Exactly. Nothing wrong with either one, but yeah, it's just a matter of preference. And I've told you this on the air before, you know, I have somewhat of a connection with Eddie George because his dad knew my dad growing up outside of Philadelphia. And Eddie and I talked about that right before he got his number retired, and we had a good talk about that. And I had some distant cousins that owned a little convenience store in the North Hills section of Philly, and it was called Burton's. And Eddie said, growing up as a kid, he used to go there all the time and get like soda pop and candy and hamburgers and stuff. And he told me, he's like, I never had any money, and they always let him slide. They always gave him a free hamburger or a free soda or whatever. So there's a bit of connection. I'm so excited for Eddie. I think this is, you know, if he puts the right staff together, this could be a lot. As Gentry put it in his column yesterday, this could be a lot of fun for TSU and for the city of Nashville.
They open up, TSU opens up at the Black College Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio at Tom Benson Stadium against Grambling. There you talk about another, you know, Doug Williams going back to his alma mater.
Yeah, you know what? It kind of started with him.
Yeah,
he didn't start with
Coach, now the AD.
Right.
At there. And certainly, with everything, the backdrop of our country, I know there was another, terrible incident in Minneapolis last night. I know things are bad up there. Our thoughts and prayers with everybody with that. No comment. I don't know the particulars, but I know that something bad has happened there again.
Mm-hmm.
And so against all the backdrop of where we are with Black Lives Matters and HBCUs, the city of the state of, if you've seen the story, the state of Tennessee since the 1950s has held back land grant money match to Tennessee State University that is over $1 billion that the state of Tennessee owes to Tennessee State University. So a lot of things are forward motion for HBCUs, certainly with this reported news and certainly with Deion, the attention that he has drawn. But Grambling and Tennessee State will open on Labor Day weekend. That's Sunday night.
Mm-hmm. Early Sunday evening,
In Canton, Ohio.
Yeah, what a way for Eddie to make his debut, right? That's presumably. You know, we have to do our due diligence here.
You know, we're commenting on what's been reported.
Right, yes. Exactly.
And so, well, what about him coaching at Nissan Stadium? Absolutely. Think about that.
Oh, my gosh.
Think about that, running out of the tunnel as the coach of the home team.
Where his number is retired and his name is up on the marquee.
John Merritt Classic and homecoming will draw 40,000.
Oh, yeah.
40,000
easy. I saw a lot of alums tweeting yesterday how excited they are to have Eddie in the fold. So, yeah, it's going to be pretty cool. It's like I said, it's going to be great for the city. It's going to be great for the alums, great for the universe. I mean, you know, if this works, if they can pull this caper off, it's huge.
The Masters yesterday, Hideki Matsuyama, the first Japanese male to win a major. Had the four-shot lead going into Saturday, hit it in the drink on 15, but the Schauffele followed down by two at 16, putting one in the pond as well. So, Matsuyama with the win. Schauffele finished tied for third, Will Zalatoris.
Zalatoris. 24-year-old rookie. Zach Galifianakis?
Yeah, no.
No.
Will Zalatoris.
Right. Zalatoris.
Zalatoris.
Yep.
I saw where Adam Sandler was tweeting him that he reminded him of Happy Sandler. I mean, Happy Gilmore.
Well, I don't think Happy Gilmore was that good. No. You know, to be 24 years old and to hold your own at the Masters like he did. He's one of the stories of the tournament. But you're right.
Yeah.
Matsuyama obviously is the story of the tournament. Really was breezing through most of the front nine, and it looked like he was just going to run away and hide. And like you said, he put it in the water on 15, and you know Schauffele made a bit of a move, but Matsuyama, like you said, the first Japanese-born player to win the Masters. I heard this morning, this one win is probably going to net him about $1 billion.
Oh, he owns Japan
in advertising back home in Japan.
Oh, he owns
like
Japan.
The entire nation is on this guy's back right now.
Yeah.
And you think about it, for 72 holes of golf, this guy has set up generational wealth for him and his family, and I couldn't be happier for him. You know, I thought it was a terrific tournament. I don't know. We'll see what the ratings are. But I get on this soapbox. But, you know, I'm listening to another station in another market while I'm getting myself ready to come in here today just to, you know, just get an idea of what people are talking about around the country. And, you know, this co-host on this one show, the first thing is, you know, they're talking, oh, Matsuyama won the Masters and, you know, this, da, da, da. What'd you think? First words out of his mouth, I miss Tiger. Guys, gals, we got to get over this Tiger thing, okay? There was golf before Tiger. There was golf after Tiger. This guy was in a major car accident where he suffered serious, serious injuries to his lower extremities at, you know, in his mid-40s. I know he won a couple of years ago. I'm not going to say it's over because you can never count on a guy like Tiger Woods, but it's likely over. You need to either find another golfer or just enjoy the sport or stop watching.
Can I say something without you getting mad? The only time we talk about Tiger on this show is when you bring it up.
Because it bothers me.
Okay. Fair enough. So with that, we definitely, after this first break, we got to go deep dive with the Predators.
We got to do that hockey.
Today is the NHL trade deadline, and we'll see what happens there. The Preds last night with the 3-2 win over the Stars in the shootout and lost 3-0 Saturday to Tampa Bay, and we'll get Andre Vasilevsky, just, you know, crazy good. And I thought the Predators, and we'll get Charlie's expert opinion, I thought they played pretty well 5-on-5 in that game. Georgia takes 2 out of 3 against Vanderbilt.
Wow, yeah.
We'll get that.
Both wins were blowouts,
yes,
too, man.
Yeah, and so their first series loss at home since late April of 2019. Got some controversy in the Phillies-Braves game last night. We're going to unpack that as well. A lot to get to, so we'll do that. And certainly after the break, we're going to get Charlie. We'll go deep diving with the Predators on the cusp of the trade deadline. Certainly your phone calls all morning long. Got Teresa Walker coming up at 10:25 in her usually weekly spot. So you're more than welcome to give us a call as well. 615-844-5600.
My buddy James Warren from Sir Speedy of Music City is with us. I was looking for a way a while back to get targeted messages to people who might be interested in listening to our daily show, and so I asked James for a little help. You take it from there.
So what we were able to do is come up with 7,000 names of people in Nashville and their addresses by zip code that are interested in spectator sports, football, baseball, that sort of thing. It was a pretty reasonable price too, wasn't it, George?
Yes, it was. I got the BGA discount.
Yeah, so in other words, twice the normal. This is something that we do for all sorts of folks. We can sort it by zip code, by type of people, age, whatever, to make it get to the people that you want to get to. If you've got a new business, no better way to do it.
Sir Speedy of Music City. Phone number 832-9511 or go to SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. That's 800-806-9554.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. Sunshine for today, highs around 77. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows near 53. Sunny for Tuesday, highs near 70. Tuesday night, cloudy, lows near 50. Partly sunny for Wednesday, highs near 65. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio on WNSR, my name is Rocky.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Crazy Charlie, John Burton, Greg Pug, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel and Goggin at Cold Hall. Preds last night, 3-2, the shootout. Ryan Johansson sped it up a little bit, scored the shootout winner. Also goals from Ryan Ellis. Good to see him back in his second game last night, his third goal. Trennan with his fourth goal of the season, 12-3 their last 15. Saturday, Tampa Bay 3-0, Vasilevsky with 36 saves, his fourth shutout of the season, 25th for the career. Pekka with 31 saves. Tampa Bay tomorrow night, then Thursday, Saturday at Carolina. And Charlie, we start last night, start Saturday. I thought the Preds played pretty dang good and lost Saturday. So
listen, for a team that is now 1-6 against Tampa Bay on the season and, Vasilevsky, they have to find out how to solve him because it's not just one more regular season game. There's a potential 7-game series coming up between these two teams starting in just a couple of weeks. Vasilevsky now in the season against the Preds, 5-0 with a shutout, just got that shutout, 148 out of 157, just incredible. The only win that the Preds have against Tampa Bay this year was against their backup, McElhinney. So for the Nashville Predators, they'll have one more opportunity probably to get Vasilevsky tomorrow night. UC Soros expected to get that start against him. But that what a treat we had on Saturday night. I know a lot of people are disappointed that the Predators didn't come out on top of that thing, but you had two Vezina winners going toe-to-toe against each other and take the empty netter off the board. Only two goals allowed by two Vezina winners, and it was Vasilevsky showing you every reason why he's more than likely going to win the Vezina again this year. 18 saves in the first period, and he did it in every single way you can possibly do it. He held Tampa Bay in that game and then allowed them to get the lead extended, and then from there, they just took care of business. They're a superior team to almost everybody in the NHL. That's one of the reasons they have 58 points, tied with Carolina for first place in the Central. Right now, they are in second because they played one more game than Carolina, but the Tampa Bay Lightning, the defending champs, more than likely have the Vezina Trophy winner, more than likely have the Norris Trophy winner in Hedman, and probably have an MVP candidate as well, if not for a whole lot more. There's a reason they're defending champions.
Stamkos, maybe? Or
we'll see when we get to that point. Yeah. But for the Nashville Predators, they'll have one more opportunity to take on the Tampa Bay Lightning. Listen, this is a preview, and this is a tryout, and this is an opportunity. If you got to make things happen, you make some changes and you try to figure out who's going to give you your best opportunity. Because if you have to take on Tampa Bay in a best of seven series coming up, you're going to have to be able to do better than beat them one time. Look, the time they did beat them was their signature win of the season. And I give them absolute credit for going into Tampa Bay and winning 4-1. Pekka-Rinne, 38 saves in that game. Yarncroke, 4 points. Tolvanen and Arvidsson, Ekholm all scoring against Tampa Bay. But they just didn't have the horsepower the other night with Tolvanen, with Forsberg, with Duchesne, all out of the lineup. I mean, that's some of your top offensive power. That's some of your top skill guys. And the Nashville Predators just weren't able to crack Tampa Bay or Vasilevsky just the other night. And then last night, though, the Nashville Predators, if you notice, guys, they kind of hedged. They started Pekka-Rinne against Tampa Bay on Saturday and went with Saros on Sunday because Sunday was the game that you had to have, was the game that you had to win, and the Dallas Stars are the team you have to beat. The Dallas Stars still have three games in hand over the Predators, so that head-to-head last night, extremely important. Fellas, before we even start talking about last night's game, I wanted to throw one number out at you. The reason the Dallas Stars are in sixth place right now and not sitting where the Predators are, the overtime losses for the Dallas Stars, now 11 after last night. Of course, we all know the Nashville Predators in the recent history between the two teams, tons of shootout overtime victories over the Dallas Stars. So the difference between the two teams being 6 points is the Dallas Stars' inability to get that second point once they get to overtime, once they get to the shootout. But for the Preds, great first 30 minutes. Dallas, a much stronger second half of the game, and it got to the shootout. And Ryan Johansson, Greg, you mentioned it. He changes up the pace. The goaltender waiting for him to go ahead and slow it down and start making the move, and he doesn't. He comes in with speed, and he just shoots and beats the goalie before anybody knows what happened. And UC Saros perfect in the shootout. He was good last night. He didn't have a ton of work in the game, but he was good overall. And you also mentioned Ryan Ellis. You got to give him credit. 44-26 back-to-back nights after missing 20 games with an injury, had a goal, had another goal disallowed, also had 4 shots on net and 5 hits over the course of the weekend. So great to have Ryan Ellis back in the lineup. And in case you guys didn't catch who he was paired with, we've always been pounding the table for Ryan Ellis to go back and be paired with Ekholm again. Well, those two were back together, and they were playing highly effective hockey together. I hope that John Hines also noticed that and keeps those two together. I've always felt that they're a good pair. Josi and Ellis, sure, they're a great pair, but Ekholm and Ellis, I think, are better, and I think that Josi can take someone else like Favreau or like Carrier or any of the other examples he's shown lately that he can take out there as a partner and have a highly effective game. But a good job by the Preds. They got the split. The points that were most important were against Dallas.
It felt different last night. It felt like a playoff game.
The whole weekend did.
The intensity, the physical nature, especially in that first period last night, both teams knew the magnitude of last night's game. That's what made it exciting for me, was the physicality. And the, like you said, the Preds come out on top, and you know, that chase pack for that fourth spot, they got a little bit of breathing room, but, you know, Crispy said it last night, it's not over yet. Still have, what, like 13 games left?
13 to go.
Yeah, 13 games to go, but I really loved how both teams came out bringing the wood and bringing the jam last night.
Thanks for the setup on that. Let me tell you what happened last night. The fourth line, the herd line just continues. One goes out, another one comes in. And by the way, McCarron, I don't want to see him back in uniform again for this Predators team this year. He'll be suspended for one more game. He sat out the last game. He went headhunting against Tampa Bay.
That was egregious.
Went after one of their star players. And the only thing that surprised me was that he made it off the ice alive. I thought Tampa Bay was going to kill him. Two-game suspension, not surprised at all. I don't want to see him back on this in this lineup again, especially when you can show me a player like Tanner Janot last night coming in on the fourth line, getting his first opportunity. So now, Trenin, Sissons, Janot, because Olivier going to be out for at least a month. And how unfortunate. He was the spirit animal of this team. A guy that no one even thought would be on the team this year ends up being one of the most irreplaceable players on the roster with, you know, 13 games to go. But Janot comes in last night, fills in great on that fourth line. Fellas, the fourth line, a goal and an assist and 12 hits. They led the charge in this game. But the team overall, John Burton, you pointed out the physical play, 33 total hits by this Nashville Predators team, and it was Janot with 4, Trenin with 6. They led the team, but you look throughout the lineup, and almost everybody on the team had at least one hit in this game. Johansson had 3, Cunnan had 3, Ellis had 3 coming back into the lineup on only his second game, Harper had 3. The Nashville Predators brought a physical presence to a team that was looking to come in and push the Predators around. Dallas dominates the center of the ice. The areas where we talk about bringing the jam, John Burton.
Yes, sir.
Dallas dominates those areas.
Yep.
You can tell
yep.
the amount of shots they limit teams to. Oh, my God. It's hard to get scoring chances against this Dallas Stars team because they're big, they're strong, and they've got a 6'7 defenseman like Oleksiak who can also skate right through the zone and put a puck in the net. But he also.
Is he the new Zdeno Chara?
Possibly.
Yeah.
We'll see. And he also could be on the trade block today.
Okay.
A move like that last night might have got him from a third round to a second round draft pick,
gotcha.
If you know what I mean, when it comes to GMs being wowed the night before the trade deadline.
Right. We got
to
have this guy.
You never know. But, fellas, what it works out to, after the full weekend of play, the Preds picked up 2 out of a possible 4 points. They've got 13 total games remaining. After Tampa Bay tomorrow night, there'll be an even split, 6 home, 6 away. Carolina for 4 of them, 3 of them for Chicago, and the Chicago games will be 3 in a row, 2 versus Florida, 2 versus Columbus, and 1 versus Dallas to go in the regular season series. And, fellas, let me give you the breakdown of the division by record for the Preds. At the top of the division, the three teams going through the weave that we have watched all season long and going to be probably the number one seed in the NHL, well, the Nashville Predators only have 3 wins total against those teams. While you look at the teams below them in the standings, the teams that you have to beat, 5-0 against Chicago, the team directly below them in the standings, 4-3 now against Dallas, 5-1 against Columbus, and they finished the regular season series 6-2 against Detroit. They're handling their business against the teams they have to beat. 20 of their 23 wins on the season come against teams below them in the standings, and they've got those teams coming up on the schedule. Aside from that, 4 games against Carolina, I think the Nashville Predators have a very manageable schedule. It's just going to be very tough. Tampa Bay, they're 1-6 against them, been outscored 29-14, and Vasilevsky's putting up a Vezina case just against the Nashville Predators alone. He did everything. Look, guys, I know that's tough to watch your team lose on home ice like
that,
but to have 2 Vezina winners like that, to have Pekka Rinne and to have Vasilevsky going toe-to-toe against each other like that while both of these teams are playing really good hockey, I mean, that's the equivalent of baseball, having 2 Cy Young winners facing off against each other on the mound. You know, it was just a great thing to see, and it might be the last time we see those two guys get a chance to go up against each other. So I hope everybody appreciated what they got to see the other night, and hopefully the Preds can find a way to beat Tampa in the last regular season matchup, because I have a feeling they're going to be playing a best of 7. You've only beaten them once. If you go 1-7 against them, there's going to be very little hope that you're going to be able to beat them 4 out of 7
right.
coming up in a playoff series. But this is an opportunity. And, John, I think you might have mentioned it from last night's game, but I want to continue your point about the physical nature of the weekend to the night before. Now, take the dumb headhunting hit by McCarron out. He was suspended, should be, and I don't want to see him in uniform again. I think everybody understands that's my opinion. I've said it 4 times already in the last 8 minutes.
Right.
That's the kind of dirty stuff that nobody wants
that's
in the NHL.
There's no place for
nobody
that.
Nobody wants it. But in that game, you saw Kelly Yarncroke, Roman Josi, Matthias Ekholm. You saw them not backing down from a second. I talked about it from a David Goliath standpoint in the statistical metrics of things, but overall, in size, in speed, in skill, in everything, the Tampa Bay Lightning truly are a Goliath of the NHL right now. And the Nashville Predators did not back down for a single second in that game. Yes, they lost. They lost 3-0 on the scoreboard, and there's no such thing as moral victories in professional sports, but they represented themselves as professionals. They didn't back down for a second, and I felt that could be game one of the playoff series coming up. So we'll see how they respond. Look, Tampa Bay is going to be really pissed about that headhunting. It happened at the very end of the game. That player is going to be eligible to come back. There's no way in hell John Hynes puts him back in the lineup, or else the rest of your bench is going to suffer a bloodbath, because they're going to have to spend the whole night trying to defend
him. It's going to be like
slap shot. They're going to spend the whole night trying to defend a guy that you don't even need him.
Right.
Like, there were better options going into that game. Like, he didn't even need to be on. You see, Janot comes up and plays the game he plays. Why in the hell was McCarron up at all in the first place? He got an opportunity, and he blew it.
Yep.
And he got suspended, and he embarrassed himself. Now, he's got an opportunity to learn a lesson from that, come back from that a better, stronger hockey player and a better asset to this Predators organization. But if you're going to skate across the zone in a 3-0 game with 18 seconds left and go after a star player's head, you're going to get suspended, and you're not going to be welcome in this town, this locker room, or in any locker room for that matter. I'm glad to see the NHL handle the business immediately. I'm glad to see he was suspended between Saturday night and Sunday morning. You don't normally get a lot of business when it comes to the office and the paperwork. They handled that one quickly. Just goes to show you how serious it was. So the Preds, they've got themselves set up, guys. They got a big week after Tampa. They head off to Carolina for two and then Chicago for three straight games. I have a feeling that's going to be a pretty pivotal three-game stretch.
All right, this afternoon, 2 o'clock Central, trade deadline. What will David Poile do?
Nothing. You'll hear very much the following statements. Well, we got Ryan Ellis back, and that's better than a trade because we didn't have to give up anything to get him back, and he's a superstar player that already knows our system, and we're going to be getting Tolvanen and Forsberg and Duchesne back, and Olivier's going to be coming back in the lineup. So I just don't see the only reason why we would jeopardize making trades right now, giving up assets when we're going to be getting back the equivalent of what would be trade deadline acquisitions for giving up absolutely nothing. I think you're going to hear a lot of that in the coming days. It is an explanation. I don't think it's the best explanation, but it is an explanation. I think David Poile is going to ride this thing out. He's looking to win a Stanley Cup. 39 years as a GM without winning a championship. He's going to do whatever it takes. I don't think he's going to go out there and make any moves to dramatically improve the team. I think there's actually a numbers problem once you do get so many healthy guys, because all these rookies, what are you going to do with them? They've come in, they've represented themselves. Some of them played
done a great
20,
job.
25, 30 games now. Like, hey, what are you going to do? You're going to tell Ellie Tolvanen, well, sorry, Matt Duchesne's back in the lineup now and available. Right. We know when Tolvanen, that's the extreme example. We know when Tolvanen's healthy, he's back in the lineup.
Right.
But I don't think there's going to be a lot of significant moves by the Predators today. You might see a fringe move here, a fringe move there, but I think it's very limited. Taylor Hall, one of the biggest names. The Buffalo Sabres have already moved him over to the Boston Bruins for almost nothing, which kind of makes me nervous for the rest of the day. Yeah. That sets the trade.
But the Sabres are in such a bad way.
But John Wyatt concerns me. It sets the trade floor
very
low.
Right.
Suddenly, if Taylor Hall is going for what he went to Boston, I mean, they're going to start trying to pick apart like vultures any of these lower down rosters. Buffalo is certainly not done. If they move Jack Eichel, there will be nothing left of the Buffalo Sabres fan base. They will just be so heartbroken and devastated to watch another great young player come along and fizzle out and then get slowly traded away. But, fellas, there's already a couple of moves being made. Mm-hmm. None of it's too extreme. I'll keep you updated as the morning moves along if anything happens, and especially if it involves the Nashville Predators.
All right. Thank you, Charlie. Good stuff. Tomorrow night, Tampa Bay, and then on the road Thursday.
I'll be in the building
Saturday.
Tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's right. You told me you were going. What time are we meeting?
5 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah. Meet you at Rippey's. We're going to pregame a little bit and then pregame some more and then game.
Then postgame.
And postgame. And post-postgame.
Post-post, yes. And then we'll see you in the morning.
No, I'm
right?
excited to go. I haven't been to a game, obviously, since the pandemic, so it'll be my first time in the building in a while.
JYJ Painting is on the air saluting the brave men and women of our U.S. military. Visit USO.org to see how you can send a military care package today. This proud salute is brought to you by JYJ Painting for 5-star services and all your painting projects with the finest attention to detail. Call the pros today, 615-430-1145, 615-430-1145. That's JYJ Painting, saluting our troops and veterans, the people who care. Hey, we're wide open to the top of the hour. Want to give us a call? Please do. 615-844-5600.
Hey, Nashville, this is Crazy Charlie Sonia, and it's time to put 2020 in the rearview mirror as I tell you all about Bongo Java. Nashville's oldest and most celebrated coffee company now is also located in the Omni Nashville Hotel. Bongo Java's expert baristas take pride in their trade, serving up fresh, locally roasted coffee and fresh baked goods all day long. For me, there's no better way to start the day than with the Egg McBongo. It's perfect. A fried egg with cheddar jack cheese on an English muffin. That paired with a cup of coffee is the best way to start your day at Bongo Java in the Omni Nashville Hotel. You can kick back and listen to the spin of vinyl records while enjoying a board game or two with all of your best friends. Open at 7 days a week and brewing up till 2. Bongo Java adds to the great Omni Nashville Hotel experience. That's Bongo Java, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown.
Come celebrate Lowe's first annual Spring Fest and give your lawn the look it deserves. With 5 bags of premium mulch for $10 or 3 19.3-ounce Bonnie vegetables and herbs for $9. Spring Fest, a festival of fun and savings for your garden and total home, in-store or online. Lowe's, home to any budget, home to any possibility. Offers valid through 4/21 while supplies last, in-store only. Selection varies by location, U.S. only, excluding Alaska and Hawaii.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
DQ presents... Picture this. Picture a DQ chicken and biscuits basket. All white meat chicken strips nestled next to crispy golden fries and seven mini biscuits. Fluffy, flaky mini biscuits that you can dunk in a side of warm pepper gravy. Then you leave the drive-thru and your favorite song comes on the radio. And all the streetlights turn green. This mini win calls for a mini celebration with the DQ chicken and biscuits basket. Or get it delivered at DQ.com. DQ. Happy tastes good.
This is the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show.
Kathy Lee Gifford.
Boy, do you guys know how to treat a lady. I'm an entertainer. I came out of the womb with a rim shot and a pratfall. And I'm not going to change. That's who I am. Wow. To me, it could have been a piece of poo-poo. It was paying my bills, baby.
Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton. WNSR. Nashville Sports Radio.
Sports
Radio, WNSR. 615-844-5600 if you want to give us a call. Crazy Charlie. John Burton, TV's John. What did you say last night?
I called myself the Almighty John Burton. I called Steve the EST.
What is it? What is EST?
I'm going to explain that a little bit later. It has a local tie. It has something to do with WrestleMania over the weekend.
But what did you call yourself?
The Almighty.
I got a chuckle out of it.
Steve had no idea what I was talking about. He just looked at me like, what?
Yeah, no, so did I. I go, what?
I will explain it before we're done today.
All right, phone lines are
Eric
full.
Might explain it right now, actually.
Hey, Eric, good morning.
Hey, Eric.
Hey, good morning, guys. Almighty, of course, is Bobby Lashley, and EST is Bianca Belair, who went to University of Tennessee at Knoxville, and she won the
He just scooped you.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, she won the WWE Women's title. Great match. Yeah, did you see the match, Eric, against Sasha?
No. I heard about it, unfortunately, guys. I couldn't see it. WWE is a little bit too expensive to be prepared for those prices. But
if you have Xfinity, you get Peacock and you get WWE for free. Do you have the dish or do you have Xfinity?
Well, that's probably true. I heard that you guys had probably put out an APB on me.
Dude. How you been, man? We haven't heard from you in a while.
Well, I'm hanging in, guys, but as you know, I've told you I've been going through a little bit of a rough time, but that's part of the reason I've called it, not because of the show of it or anything. It's just that...
Well, Eric, you know, if there's anything we can ever do for you, just let us know. You're a valuable part of this show.
Well, so. I appreciate it, guys, but I've had a lot of doctor's appointments, but to make a long story short, I've had some issues with my feet where I thought for a while I could lose my toes. Thank goodness that's not going to happen.
Good.
I'm right now putting some treatment and stuff on my feet, getting treatment and stuff for it. It's taken me a while for that heal up, but I've also had an issue with my hip. I found out back in December I've got a dislocated hip, and the doctor said
that
I should have had this surgery done 5 years ago. When he told me that, my jaw dropped because I didn't start experiencing pain from that until about 2019. I'm in the process of trying to work behind, having people work behind the scenes to get it done, but the problem is they don't have a component where I can get the surgery replace it. So until that happens to get the situation feet corrected, I'm unable to work, unfortunately, because of that. And on top of that, I live near the Belmont area. But me and several other people live in that area have been told you got to move out because Belmont's expanding. So I got to be out by the end of this month, so I'm moving a week from Saturday. I do have another place to go, so I'm gonna be moving from this area to a place in East Nashville. But for me, it's kind of a soap opera. It rains, it pours, but I'm hanging in.
Hang in there, brother. Hang in there.
That's been part of the reason why I haven't been calling in this month.
Tie a knot and hang on, man. You got this. What's on your mind today, bro?
Oh, yeah. Just a couple of things. First of all, guys, I agree with you. I feel bad for Rod Reed and the whole thing that he's going through and stuff like that. You know, you're happy for Eddie George. Of course, that happens. And, and I'm not saying whether or not, you know, it's not for me to comment on whether or not Rod Reed deserves to stay or go. I didn't realize he'd been here 11 years because if it had been back in the olden days, a lot of people would have called for his head a long time ago because I remember the, you know, the John Merritt era and all that stuff and just the winning and stuff like that, because back in the day, TSU fans would have put up with losing and stuff. But
well, and let me, Eric, let me jump in. They haven't been. Okay, yeah, and yeah. It's shown. So and so, just say that there. You know, this is Eddie George aside. I believe that if this is the move that's happening, I believe it was going to happen. Either way, Eddie or not.
Yeah. And it's just the thing. Of course, he doesn't have coaching experience, but you'll hopefully that he can get together staff that'll be able to help him do the job. And of course, it's going to be interesting if he does get the job. Of course, he'll be coaching against Deion Sanders when they play the game in Memphis at the Classic in Memphis.
Yeah, so second. That's second weekend.
Yeah, Southern Heritage second. Classic. Yeah. That's going to get some national TV run, which is going to be great for both schools.
Well, and it already draws 50,000.
Yeah.
And I've always said there's 50,000 inside and there's 50,000 outside at that thing. It's crazy.
By the way, Deion had a nice tweet today congratulating Eddie, presumably that he's getting the job. So that I retweeted that. You can check it out on my timeline at John Burton 32.
Guys, one last thing. I'll let you go. I know you haven't talked about this yet, but you'll probably talk about this. I know George has got to be furious about what happened last night between the Braves and Phillies. I mean, that was a terrible call. The guy was clearly out. And it's like, it says, what's the place and purpose to have replay? They're not going to overturn something like that. It's like, how in the world did you still call that guy safe? I mean, I'm not a Braves fan, but that just was a horrendous call. Guys, y'all take care. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, Eric, good to hear from you. Hang in there, bro.
Yeah, last night, 6-6 score, bases loaded.
Yeah, I didn't see what happened.
Bases loaded, top of the ninth.
Okay.
Alec Baum was on third base. Marcella short, only 250-foot fly ball to left field. Marcella Zuna, the throw was bang-bang at the plate.
Mm-hmm.
Travis d'Arnaud, the catcher, with the ball. You can block the plate. He did. The replay showed that the runner's foot did not touch. Now, there's an angle that I'd like to see an angle behind the plate so I could see if there was air between there, because it was a side angle. That's right. All we saw, okay, on the replays. But I was watching the replays later because obviously I didn't see it last night live. It ends the Braves' four-game winning streak, by the way. Everybody was about ready to jump off a bridge with their start. But Major League, it was went to replay. And it was upheld, him being safe, where you really look at it. Well, here it is right here, John. See, see his left foot.
Thank you, Charlie.
Yeah, good job, Charlie. See how it's bumped off by the right knee of d'Arnaud, and he looks like that left foot never touched his home plate.
I'm looking at it now.
But
there's the tag applied.
But that angle right there, you really, really, really can't see. I'd like to – there's the angle right here behind the
Charlie's
plate.
Charlie's getting it done today.
Yeah, and you see there
– oh, he's out.
Yeah, he's out.
His foot never touched the plate.
His left foot never touches. So
you're
he
right.
was out, given the run, and they win with that run 7-6. Good job, Charlie.
Thank you, Charlie.
A break. Hey, Steve, Jeff, you on hold. We'll get to you right after it.
Does learning a language feel like this?
No habla español.
Hablo.
It's hablo?
Yes.
It's hablo.
Bom dia, like good day, good morning, I think.
I can say, je m'appelle David, but that's probably it.
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
This year is my year to get fluent in Spanish, and Babbel is definitely going to help me do that. The app is so easy to use, and it's so practical. It helps you learn things that you will actually need.
Since my husband is from Guatemala, I'll apply what I've learned in Babbel to our real-life situations.
I've tried other language learning apps and nothing really stuck. Babbel's been a complete game changer for me.
Hoy es miércoles y el clima está muy bueno afuera.
Estoy con fome. Yo no tomé café de mañana.
Je suis des États-Unis et d'où viens-tu?
Babbel, language for life, celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com, Babbel.com.
My doctor prescribed me Viagra. It wasn't covered by my insurance, so it was costing me like $65 a pill. That's expensive.
Over 20 million guys like us use Viagra. Over a certain age, we just need it. I found a way to pay less than $3 a pill and get virtually the same effect of the $65 pill. I heard an ad just like this on the radio called, and for $99, I got 40 generic versions of the $65 pill. Save your yourself money and call right now and get over 40 pills for $99. There's no embarrassment here to use Viagra. If we're over 50, we need it, but not at high prices. Call now with your credit card and get the 40 pill special for just $99.
800-431-9102. 800-431-9102. That's 800-431-9102.
No time to drive through? Get Slim's delivered. Our hand-breaded tenders, perfectly fried wings, southern sides, and even sweet treats. All delivered right to your door. Just order online or through the Slim Chickens app and select delivery. Whether you're driving through, pulling up for curbside service, or now getting it delivered, Slim's has you covered. Download the Slim Chickens app and order online.
With three locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, and Hendersonville.
Radnor Wine and Spirits has been serving the greater South Nashville area since 1976. Locally owned and operated, we're here to help you celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, or anything you have to celebrate. We have a large selection of wine, spirits, and high-gravity beers that can fulfill any want you have. Visit us at 2635 8th Avenue South in Nashville, or give us a follow on Instagram at RadnorLiquor615. Log on to the new website, RadnorWineAndSpirits.com. That's Radnor Wine and Spirits in Nashville.
Your exclusive National Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast. Today's going to be sunny with a high of 78. Partly cloudy tonight, low 52. Tuesday, partly sunny with a stray afternoon shower, high 70. Wednesday, partly sunny, can't rule out a shower, high 66. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio WNSR.
.615-844-5600. The phone lines are full. If somebody falls off, you fall on.
That's right.
Steve, good morning.
Steve-o!
Good morning. So I vote to take Georgia off our schedule.
Didn't see that coming, did you, Steve-o?
Good Lord. Batting practice over there this weekend. Like, it really hurts that one player was on our roster at one time. So
yeah.
Like Bradfield, his name, but man, that was ugly.
Well, you know, and I know, you know, Corb's not going to make any excuses. No Isaiah Thomas, no Cooper Davis, no Tate Colwich. So you have three starters basically out, but still, Kumar, we've talked about that Friday being human, lighter, pitched well than yesterday. It was the floodgates, but. Yeah. They're still tied with the, which really, because UT.
It makes it better, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, if you don't have a dog in the hunt.
Exactly.
UT took two out of three from Florida.
Right.
So Vandy and Florida are 9-3, and both tied for the East lead, and they play, this coming Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Get this. The first two games are on national TV.
Mm-hmm.
Friday
mm-hmm.
night, 6 o'clock ESPNU. Saturday afternoon at 3 on the SEC Network. And then Sunday at noon, of course, we'll have all the games.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
I didn't realize they were allowing Arkansas and Ole Miss to play a football game this weekend. That was a pretty good matchup. Arkansas won 18-14 yesterday in a pitcher's duel.
Yeah.
I guess they went for two every time.
No, who scored 18?
Arkansas.
Yeah, 18. Six field goals.
Yeah.
They made them. But we'll be there Friday night. We still got three seats on the deck waiting for you guys to do the show right up from there. But I'll be watching from Calhoun's the next 2 days. It's going to be a tough ticket to get this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It should be a lot of fun. That stadium in Knoxville is going to be rocking, I'm sure. And a lot of trash talk going up and down I-40 this week.
What is the restrictions, COVID restrictions at the stadium? I guess Nelson Stadium, right?
Yeah, their site just said it's been sold out. They have these party decks. I don't know how we got one for Friday night, but you can have 10 people up there. It's cool.
So Vandy with the U on the Vandy on a party deck at a UT game? That is, yeah.
I don't think we disclosed.
Let's go, John. No, you got to work, right?
I can.
The game's okay. The game's.
I'll
at
talk
six.
To Rory. Rory, you're doing sports today.
Hey, the game's at 6. Be over at 9.
Yeah.
I live 30 minutes that way anyway. Knoxville's only 2.5 hours from me.
Okay.
So I could be back home by midnight.
Well, as long as it benefits you.
Yes. Well, it does, because I've got a radio show the next day. Two of them, as a matter of fact.
I've heard you do a lot of radio. Hey, who was the softball pitcher that had the perfect game?
The perfect?
21 up, 21 down, 21 strikeouts.
What?
Yeah, we're going to have to look that up.
I'll Google. Google's a one.
How about that? Perfect. That's a perfect game, right?
College softball, huh?
Yeah. 21 up, 21 down, 21 strikeouts. Sorry, Steve-O, what's up?
Oh, you're fine. What's the sound situation? When are they starting with the big Brew Crew affiliate here?
It's May 14th, I believe, is their first home game. They start on the road before that. We'll check that, but I'm thinking May 14th, that Friday, the first home game. I think they open up on the road with a couple series.
Nice. Yeah, I'll kick out Friday on the way to Knoxville after the show.
All right.
Steve-O.
In Conference USA, no less, North Texas softball pitcher Hope Troutwine strikes out all 21 batters in a perfect.
Would you say North Texas?
Perfect North Texas.
Yeah.
The Green Wave.
How about that?
21 strikeouts.
Whew.
And 21 batters. And see who they did it against. Arkansas Pine Bluff in a non-conference game. So, pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, Chuck, Jeff, you hear the music, top of the hour break. We'll get to you after it.
WPDQ.
Thanks,
ABC News, I'm Faith Abube. Protests erupted overnight in the Minneapolis suburb of Brooklyn Center following the death of a black man during a police stop.
Tensions very quickly rising. Before nightfall, protesters carrying Black Lives Matter signs clashing with police. Protesters also seen jumping on cars, even using cinder blocks to smash windows on a police vehicle. The Minnesota National Guard deployed, police deploying tear gas to clear the crowds.
ABC's Alex Perez in Minneapolis. The entire incident is being investigated. About 10 miles away, former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin is on trial in the police-involved killing of George Floyd. Iran describing a blackout at its underground nuclear facility as an act of terrorism and suggesting Israel was behind it. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin continuing his trip to Israel today. President Biden will be talking to lawmakers today about his infrastructure plan. The White House out with the list of where bridges, tunnels, and power grids are in most need of repair. This is ABC News.
I struggled with symptoms like frequent gas and stomach pain for years.
I was bloated all the time with daily diarrhea.
At first, I thought it was what I was eating.
I kept thinking it was stomach issues.
So I did my research and talked to my doctor, and we finally uncovered the truth.
It was actually EPI. Exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, is a condition where your pancreas is unable to help break down your food.
It can lead to symptoms like diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools.
And EPI symptoms can be confused with those of other common digestive conditions, like irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's, and celiac disease.
So getting to the right diagnosis meant being more open with my doctor about the severity of my symptoms and how often they were happening.
But there's good news. EPI is manageable, so don't wait any longer. Use the symptom checker at identifyepi.com and schedule a visit or call with your doctor to ask, Could I have EPI?
Sponsored by AbbVie.
When the forgotten poor are in need of healing, they wait for a ship unlike any other. Mercy Ships, a floating hospital staffed by volunteers, heroes of mercy who donate their time to save lives.
Every human has the right to have a place at the table of the human race.
If you could just see the smiles that you get when lives have been changed, then it would make it all worth it.
To learn more about Heroes of Mercy, go to mercyships.org.
And now, Absolute Contracting Plus, LLC, our premier full-service exterior expert, is reminding Americans to show support to the brave men and women who serve our U.S. military. This message is from Absolute Contracting Plus, LLC, backed by over 20 years of experience and an A-plus rating on the BBB. For residential or commercial, roofing, siding, or gutters, call today at 615-788-5031 and online at AbsoluteContractingPlus.com. Absolute Contracting Plus, LLC, proudly saluting our troops and veterans.
Are you ready to rock, boys and girls?
behold,
it's the single greatest thing on earth.
Are you listening to me?
Against all odds and defying all logic.
From the Nashville Sports Radio Media Complex, welcome back to the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show. Brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel and by Garden Cold Hall, the coldest team in town. Call now at 844-5600. Download the WNSR app and take us with you.
It's just a stupid click of a button that takes 2 seconds.
It's patriotic. It's perfect.
Hold your nose because the bull's about to fly.
Now, here's Greg Vogue and News Channel 5's John Burton.
It is our number two, Crazy Charlie Defuse, Crazy Charlie's conversation about Deep Dive with the Predators. It's up on Twitter.
Yeah, go back and listen. Yeah. Good insight always from the leader of the Renegades of Puck.
Social media, you can get it at Predneck Nation and WNSR. 615-844-5600 in Brentwood. Chuck, good morning.
Good morning. I was going to talk to you all a little about the Braves. The Braves, that play in the umpire blew that call, we know that, but it shouldn't have come down to that anyway, because Will Smith is absolutely killing the Braves. He's had more blown saves. They need to run him off, and Luke Jackson scares me when he comes in. Atlanta's not getting any production out of Osuna and Riley. Riley's a good defensive player, but no bad.
Well, it's early. Osuna will heat up. I don't worry about him.
Worry about who?
Ozuna. I don't worry about him. He'll heat up.
Yeah, but he strikes out a lot too. He hit like 240 something. And 2 years ago, he was a Gold Glove winner in left field, but he has no arm. And Riley's, the Braves are getting beat now by they're not getting anything out of Ozuna or Riley. Riley, no hit. But Will Smith's been a real bust for him. They paid him a lot of money. He had delivered it. And Luke Jackson, they haven't used him a lot, but he scares me. Will Smith, all he wants to throw is breaking balls. He's got a great fastball, but he wants to rely on that breaking ball so much. I don't know, but that's my take on the Braves. I'm not real crazy about the general manager either.
Yeah, I think the best thing I can tell you, Chuck, is, let's reconvene in mid-May. You kind of know what you are after 50 games, you know. In mid-May, yeah, we'll see where this team's
at.
Well,
I'm going to tell you what. Yeah. Just get used to it. The Phillies, the Braves, yep, and the Mets, that division, and the Marlins.
Yes.
Yeah, Marlins.
It's going to be a dogfight. Yeah.
It's going to be a dogfight. It's division in baseball.
Yeah, I would agree.
Atlanta's going against a tough guy tonight, this Alcantara. If he was with another ball team, hell, he'd be the Cy Young winner. He can throw, this boy is pitching. For the Marlins tonight, there's and another bust. The general manager, the guy they brought over from Toronto, I'm not real fond of him. I've been a lifelong Braves fan, but there's a media company that owns them now.
Yeah,
and it's not like the family, you know. And that's, I don't know. It's, things have changed in that organization or something. The one smart thing they did, they brought Chipper Jones back as a hitting instructor, which that's probably the smartest thing they've done. But I don't know.
Well, they've had success. I mean, you know, they've had a pretty good run lately. Three straight division titles, you know. I mean,
yeah.
NLCS.
I realize that.
Yeah, the general manager's Alex Athalopoulos.
The Golden Greek.
Mm-hmm. Toronto, and then he had a brief stint with the Dodgers.
Well, I tell you what, the trend is getting these young general managers.
Yes.
I mean,
I think it started with Theo Epstein and the Red Sox in the early 2000s.
The guy, the general manager of the Brewers, he's in his early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's crazy. Hey, thank you, Chuck.
Thanks, Chuck. Appreciate it, man.
You know, you look at I did that. We're only, 2 weeks into the season.
I know. 9 games in.
All right.
The Yankees are 4-5, and trust me, I'm not happy about it, but I got to tell myself it's early.
6-1-5-8, but he's right. The bullpen for the Braves is a big weakness.
Yeah. It's been for a while now.
Yeah, especially middle relief. 615-844-5600. Jeff in the Borough. Hey, Jeff.
What's going on, guys? I hope you had a good weekend. Burton, watch some of you. Watched some of his show last night. It was pretty good there. So,
Well, I'm glad you approved, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Well, you know, you always need my approval.
I do.
I'm not a popular caller on this station. That's all right, though.
Jeff, listen, you're harmless. The only
I know. So. But I want to say, Greg, the green wave is Tulane. North Texas is a mean green.
I got my greens wrong.
They have softball, but no baseball.
Yeah, the mean green. Yes.
You know, North Texas, and Utah.
You know why they're the mean green, Jeff?
Mean Joe Green.
There you go. Attaboy.
In the 60s, there was North Texas State back then.
Mm-hmm.
North Texas State and North Texas now. So.
Big uniform. You know how many people enrollment you think that school has there in North Dallas? It's in North Dallas, North Texas.
25,000.
How many?
25,000.
I'm going to guess 38,000.
Wow.
That's probably, I don't know, but it's a bunch. But now, as far as the Braves thing goes, the thing about that last night, okay, they went to replay.
Mm.
They look at it, and they make the decision, okay? And the decision's being made, and Snitker throws that hat like a five-year-old and runs out that dugout and talks to that umpire. Now, if I'd been that umpire, he'd have been tossed immediately. Because the decision's being made, the replay call, whether it's right or wrong, whatever. It goes to replay, and that's what they decide.
Yeah, but as a manager, you have to argue for
your
team.
You got to stand up for your team.
You got to stand up for your
team. Yes, you do.
You got to argue the call.
Once it's been made, no. Now, if we didn't have replay, he could go out there and beef and holler and scream.
Well, even if you have replay and right. then they screw
they
it up.
Play. Exactly.
You know?
If I'm the manager, I would do exactly what
Snitker
did.
Yeah, you got to stand up for your team.
I got to argue that call. I got to stand up for my team.
I mean, what you do is you move on.
Eventually.
You move on.
But you got to show your team, hey, I got your back.
Yeah.
We were wronged here.
Yeah, I mean they might have been. I don't know. I mean the call was made. But what I'm saying, the thing I don't like about replay is, I mean, one thing, you know, it takes too long. Like I said, and the officials use it as a crutch. Like, I mean, Vitale said one time on a basketball ball, forget that. Because the officials know if they make a bad call, all they got to do is go to the monitor or go to the headset and call up New York.
Yeah, I don't think at that moment when he's making that bang-bang play at the plate that's what he's thinking about. But I do believe, though, that they will, like in football, they'll go ahead and call it a fumble. And if it's a fumble,
right.
that way it can be reviewed
exactly,
to
yeah.
make sure it's
and they'll
right.
And let the play go because we can always look at it later.
We can't go back and unfix it.
I like the fact that they go the other way.
Yeah, that's the best thing. Everybody nowadays is about getting stuff right and just like that.
Well, if you have replay, get it right.
I mean, it's not a good start for the umpires this year.
I agree, but the thing about it is, it's just like basketball. When they started in college basketball, the first thing they did was out of bounds plays. Then they kept adding stuff. It was shot clock, either you review everything or nothing. Everything or nothing, as far as I
well, listen, I'll say this. You know, it's not been a good start for the umpires. You look what happened in that Marlins-Mets game. They blew that call. Then the call last night. It's an issue right now. These umpires got to get it together, and I don't think the officiating in the NFL has been great the last several years as well.
Yeah, well, first of all, and also about the TSU situation, I was listening to some other channels before y'all came on last night, Bert, and they were talking to fans at the TSU game yesterday, and this one fan.
Oh,
said,
the fan reaction piece.
Fan, well,
that is lazy producing, by the way.
Well, I don't care what it is, Bert. They did it. And this one fan.
Hey, pipe down there, sporty. Okay, relax. We're just having a conversation here. You know, take some of that bass out your voice if you're going to talk to me.
All right, well, go ahead.
Take some of that bass out your voice if you're going to talk to me.
The fan said, he said, you've got to give the guy resources to do stuff. He said, it didn't matter. You could dig up John Merritt out of the ground. You got to give the guy resources.
I agree.
And he basically told the guy, he said, you can have all the excitement you want. He said, I want to win. What it basically comes down to.
Well, yeah, it's going to be, you know, and the question for me becomes, assuming that Eddie George will be hired as head coach, it's not official yet, we understand that, you know, what's he been told in terms of resources, in terms of, you know, recruiting budget?
Yeah.
Eddie George is your head coach, you got to have a recruiting budget now. This guy's got to be able to go out on the road and talk to recruits in their living rooms and their parents. You know, what are you going to do for off-season conditioning?
Well, he can't do that till June 1st anyway.
I understand that. But, you know, what are you going to do for off-season conditioning? Are you going to, are you going to have summer school? Are you going to have the things that Rod Reed, the resources that Rod Reed didn't have?
Yeah. Well, what I heard, he's going to be introduced tomorrow, what I understand. And then they're going to have some deal today at TSU to, I guess, to dismiss Reed or whatever. That's what I've heard.
It's out there.
I don't know what's going on, but I'll hang in there, guys. See you.
Bye, Jeff. Anyway.
Oh, by the way, North Texas.
You hear Jeff trying to puff his chest out? Say it with your chest, man. Don't come at me.
Did he call you Bertie?
He's like, I don't care what you said, Burton. First of all, it's Mr. Burton to you, or the Almighty.
Oh, boy.
Second of all, take some of that bass out your voice if you're going to talk to me. We can have a conversation.
Okay, John. Hey, North Texas, 40,000.
40,000?
Yeah.
Wow.
What did I say, 35? 40. 40,000.
I'll tell you what, man. You could go to school there and you know.
Well,
could see something, somebody new all 4 years that you go there.
Well, that's the University of Dallas, okay, essentially, yeah. North, yeah. Texas, because, yeah. SMU private, right. TCU private.
Right.
You know, obviously, there's a lot of other, mm-hmm. universities in the Dallas area.
It's still
area,
a state school,
but
right?
North,
but they don't,
Texas,
call it,
yeah,
North Texas State?
Yeah, it's North Texas University now, but
oh, okay.
Yeah, but it's the state school, so, mm-hmm. you know, 40,000.
Well,
that's
Dallas,
full. 32,000.
Dallas is a big city.
33,000 undergraduates. So, man,
our weekend news anchor Emily Luxon is from Dallas.
You'd be surprised at some of these schools. Like,
shout out Emily if you're
like
listening. Hope
Central
you're well.
Florida. What do you think? It's
here's the thing about going to a Florida school. One of my good friends went to the U of F, and I have friends that went to Florida State, Miami, and stuff like that. Like, you're sitting there like, all right, do I go to class today, or do I go to the school pool, or do I go hang out on the beach? I don't know if I'd survive.
Central Florida.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
65,000.
72,000.
Get out of
1,000.
Here.
Central Florida is the largest attended four-year university in the United States. Got more than Ohio State.
I couldn't go to school there.
72,000 at Central Florida.
I couldn't go to school there. I'm too easily distracted, if you know what I mean. Don't think I could make it work. Maybe I could.
What, easily distracted with what? The weather?
Yeah, the weather, Greg. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, the weather. That's what I was talking about. Good job by you. Way to pick that up.
Hey, when I went to Western Kentucky,
yeah,
it was about two-thirds female and one-third male. Just saying.
Damn, I should have went there. Said I go to Plattsburgh State, freezing my ass off of Lake Champlain for 2 years.
Well, it's okay.
Yeah.
615-844-5600 if you want to give us a call, talk about that. Obviously, the reports are out there of Eddie George at TSU, other reports.
Right.
As
Nothing
well.
Official from TSU at the, as we speak, correct?
You know, so hold on, man.
You're a popular guy this morning.
Troy Fisher, I was talking about it being,
yeah.
two-thirds to one-third,
yeah.
And he texts me, and you still had trouble getting a date.
Wow.
Man.
Shots fired. Pew, pew. Anyway, nothing official from Tennessee State, so, you know, we'll go on that. But it's being widely reported. You know, Tennessee State has not confirmed anything, but they haven't denied anything yet either. So one would assume that these reports are true, and I have heard what Jeff heard, that the official announcement could come tomorrow. So we'll be on the lookout for that, and we'll see where that goes. But again, as I said in the first hour to start the show, Greg, you know, excited for Eddie, excited for the opportunity that he potentially has to become, you know, a head coach at an HBCU. We'll see what kind of staff he puts together. But, you know, kind of feel bad for Rod, the way it allegedly went down, whether he knew or what did he know, what didn't he know. But I will say this, assuming he did know what was going down, the fact that he let his team out for one more game and tried to win a football game, you know, for his alma mater, for his university, that says a lot about the type of person Rod Reed is. And I plan on reaching out to him at some point and just, you know, just telling him how I feel about everything. And, you know, we'll see where it goes. But I agree with you. Rod's going to land on his feet. Any coaching staff, any university would be lucky to have him. He's a quality individual. He's a God-fearing man. He's a leader of young men. I can't say enough good things about Rod Reed, getting to know him over the years since I've been here.
Well, I don't think
Because one of the things – I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Greg, but, you know, I just remember – you know, with the history that News Channel 5 has had with Tennessee State and their continuous coverage, I knew that was a big part when I got here 9 years ago. I knew that was a big thing. And I remember I went to my first TSU press conference when they announced, they were playing, I think, FAMU in the John Merritt Classic. And it was over at Nissan Stadium. And I went there and I kind of introduced myself to a bunch of Tennessee State people. And I just remember they said, hey, you work at News Channel 5. Just remember Hope Hines was big for us. And, you know, we expect you to not forget us. And I made it a point, and we make it a point, myself, Brian, Steve, Kuz, everybody at News Channel 5 Sports, to, you know, we don't forget TSU. And I had the honor of hosting their awards banquet, their sports awards banquet, a couple springs ago. So, you know, I've got a lot of affection for Rod Reed. And like I said, as bad as I feel for him, I'm excited for Eddie George. So I'm a little torn this morning, but it's exciting news. At Tennessee State.
Yeah, Rod's dad played, Rod from Texas, played at TSU for John Merritt back in the mid-60s, actually played in the NFL, played for the Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
So Rod grew up a Redskins fan.
Right.
In Miller, Dallas.
Being a Texas
Dallas.
Guy. Yeah,
Miller,
Dallas. Texas guy.
Rod was a
Washington football team fan.
All-American linebacker at TSU, 84 to 88. He's still the all-time leading tackler. He had over 200 tackles in one season. To hold that record still. Talked to Rod last night, and he said, "What, you know, I'm doing what I always do after a game." He was in his office breaking down film. He knew what was happening and had been told,
and so there's
going to be opportunity there, especially head coaching another HBCU that, or other opportunities. But I don't know that he's going to do anything the next couple of years with his son Marcel being a rising junior at MBA, and you know this opportunity, you know, to see him play all those games because you know before he could only see him play half of them, right? Because
sure.
He's on the road the other half of the time, and they always leave on Friday, and you know Friday night high school. But Rod's okay. Rod'll be okay. He was upbeat last night, and you know he's had 11 years, and like he said in his press conference, it's all about winning. He's had three straight losing seasons in the last 21 OVC games, 7-14. So it's I think he understood Eddie or not. That it was going to be inevitable as well.
Yeah.
Thank you, Charlie. Commander Chuck reporting now a crash closing the interstate on I-65 northbound past Vietnam Vets. So that is up in Hendersonville area.
That looks bad.
Yeah, so
it looks real bad.
Vietnam Vets is the one that's off of 65 that splits off to go to Hendersonville, that bypass up that way around the Rivergate area.
Pack your patience.
So that is look at it is a mess.
Whoa.
Look like right,
wow.
the sign's blocking half of it.
Yeah.
But it's so hope everyone is safe and secure with that. TN Painting RSC is on the air saluting the brave men and women of our U.S. military. This proud salute is brought to you by TN Painting RSC, your local number one trusted contractor for all your painting needs for interior, exterior, residential, commercial. They do it all. Call the pros today, 615-475-3121, 615-475-3121. That's TN Painting RSC, saluting our troops and first responders, the people who care. Coming up next from the Associated Press, Teresa Walker.
Hey guys, it's Zach from Millennial Sports Mornings here to talk to you about Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. They have been serving the Nashville area for more than 28 years with a long-standing tradition of providing outstanding customer service to anyone who steps on their lot. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or service your vehicle, you can be sure that their team will dedicate themselves to your individual needs. They also offer much more than just legendary customer service. They will help you find the vehicle that fits your lifestyle, personality, and most importantly, your budget. If you like what you hear, then simply call to schedule an appointment at 615-865-7220. Again, that's 615-865-7220. Or you can just stop by at 1550-1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison. And check them out on the web at NissanOfRivergate.com. And look, you can trust me. Not only am I a spokesperson, but I'm a customer. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. That's 800-668-0042.
You have a 90% chance of surviving a lightning strike. You have a 98% chance of surviving a shark attack. You have a 99% chance of surviving a snake bite. But you only have a 50% chance of surviving a crash if you aren't wearing a seatbelt. Your truck may be tough, but a seatbelt makes it tougher. Buckle up in your truck. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Your exclusive National Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan Forecast. Today's going to be sunny with a high of 78. Partly cloudy tonight, low 52. Tuesday, partly sunny with a stray afternoon shower, high 70. Wednesday, partly sunny, can't rule out a shower, high 66. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
Crazy Charlie, John Burton, Greg Pogue, presented by Omni National Hotel in Goggin at Cold Hall. And we are watching the 7-10 split.
Yeah.
The first one on TV in 30 years, only the fourth time ever on the PBA Tour.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You figured it'd be done more than four times. Teresa Walker, do you remember the old PBA show on ABC Sports on Saturday afternoons with Chris Jenkel?
Of course I do. My parents were big bowlers. They were champion bowlers in their league. So, yes, I spent a lot of time back in the day at bowling alleys. And, yes, my family watched. I used to want my own ball. And I just can't, you know, I have never scored more than 130 at a bowling alley. So
wow,
I didn't get
you got skill. Me beat.
I like
that's
it.
When I'm really good.
When they get that thing, you just set it on and it rolls down.
Yeah. You got to get the bumpers out for me. Yeah, I live in the gutters.
Oh, me. Where do you want to...
Figuratively and literally, right?
Where do you want to start, Teresa?
Yeah.
Well, there's a whole bunch. I mean, you know, the one thing we're all waiting for is, you know, 2 o'clock to see David Poile most likely for a change not do anything. So I think we'd all be pretty stunned if there is a move by the Predators today, but... You know, this is a team, guys, have won 13 of their last 15. I was all on the trade. Mm-hmm. Get what you can. It's rebuild mode. But the weird thing about all these injuries, it's forced them into the youth movement that, you know, David Poile originally wanted to take for this season before they released this schedule. And it's amazing to see this team. You know, it's almost like it reminds me of the movie Major League. You know, it's like just when you think everything's done, they just start winning to despite, you know, and instead of being sold and shipped off to another town, or moved, well, the Predators are literally fighting to stay together. So, you know, the team that told us, you know, remember after the Stanley Cup final and after the second round loss to Winnipeg, keep us together, keep us together.
Yeah.
Well, there's still some pieces of that group, but finally this is a team that's playing keep us together and giving them reasons to not make any changes. So it's going to be interesting to watch the clock tick down.
T, who deserves the most credit for this turnaround with the Preds in your mind?
Well, eventually I'm going to give it to the players. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, they're playing the way, you know, when you make a coaching change, like, you know, Poyle did a year ago in January with John Hines, you know, usually you see something quicker. And, you know, maybe it's just there were some bad habits that they had to break, you know, and then the stop, the start, the pause, none of that helped. But, you know, here, anybody who's a procrastinator knows this. There's nothing like a deadline to get you motivated. And maybe it was just the talk that, you know, okay, we're going to trade this guy. You know, Ekholm could be traded. You know, what about this? What about that? You know, and essentially it's like, you know, the only people that seemed to be untradeable at a certain point were Duchesne and Johansson. Why? Because of their contracts. So at that point, it's like, well, we better, it almost seems from the outside that we got to get going. And, you know, whatever the reason, whether it's finally what John Hines was preaching and trying to get them to play to, this, you can see the difference is dramatic on the ice. I mean, they skate fast. That hard on the puck thing, you know, they're moving. I mean, you know, watching, you know, is it Taylor Jeanette, Janot? I'm not sure how you say his name, but, you know, another of the new guys. He's just knocking, you know, Dallas Stars out of the, you know, knocking them down like pens. And it's like, you know, some of those bowling pins, eh? But, you know.
Good job by you.
That's, yeah, thank you. But that's the thing. For so long, Dallas has just kind of eaten the Predators' lunch because they've been more physical than the Predators. And we are seeing them play physical. We're seeing them play fast. It's a fun team to watch. And then, oh, yeah. This whole thing with the overtime and shootouts, where did this come from? I mean, this is a franchise that 2-3 seasons ago, you couldn't buy an overtime or a shootout win. You go there and it's like, oh, no, let's head for the car. And now it's like, stay tuned because I want to see what they do next. And, you know, last night it's Johansson scores one, going fast for a change, slow Hansen. And then, you know, UC Saros making all the stops to preserve the win. I mean, this team is just fun to watch right now, even if you don't know who all the guys are on the ice.
Well, and goaltending, to start right there with it, it's just like, you know, if you don't have good goaltending, it doesn't matter in a lot of ways. And certainly what Saros has done since he's come back, Pekka, and but then again, you know, Saturday night, I think Charlie pointed it out really well. You had two Vezina Trophy winners in that former, and Vasilevsky on his way to another one, most likely this year. And the game Saturday night, 5-on-5, you know, it was really a 2-zip game because of the empty net. That may have been one of their better games they've played in quite some time, and they obviously still come out. Tampa Bay figured out how to win, and then they roll it in to last night as well. It just seems like when each of these players come back, they seem energized, but because of, I think they're looking over their shoulder and say, look, I'm being paid very well, and Ryan Johansson's such an easy lightning rod, quite frankly.
Yeah.
But I thought he's played well since he's come back, and so you come back, and so now, and again, go listen to Charlie in his podcast or the thing he did with us last hour. But now, as these players come back, it is like getting a trade. Forsberg's going to come back. Duchesne's going to come back. Tolvanen's going to come back. And these young players are seizing that opportunity. I think it's put a little pep in the step from the with the older players.
Well, absolutely. And I think it wasn't Ryan Ellis who said that it's like he came back to a different team, because he did. You know, this team was just trying to get out of its own way and couldn't. And now suddenly this team is doing everything you want. So, yeah, the pressure is on these guys when they're coming back from injury to step up. And here's the thing. Even if David Poyle doesn't make any moves, as we kind of all expect here in Nashville today, he still has some leeway once the season is over. However it ends, you know, Mikael Granlund is the only guy who was a one-year deal, okay, that was probably the biggest trade bait. And then behind that, you know, Matthias Ekholm. Well, Ekholm is still under contract after this season. So if David Poyle needs to go ahead and go that route, then that's somebody he could trade. And, you know, yes, he's going to have to expose somebody to the Kraken to help create some space on this roster. So some changes coming this offseason regardless. You know, it may not be as much as people thought a month and a half ago. I mean, Lord, let's not forget, at the end of February, guys, they were 28th in the NHL. Forget thinking playoffs. This was a team that was trying to figure out what lottery spot they might pick in the draft. So it's just been amazing and impressive for this turnaround. And, here's the thing. The pressure's on. No pressure. You've got a little bit of a wiggle room, but, they don't have literally that much breathing room or margin for error, so they got to keep it up.
Teresa Walker is our guest, Hall of Fame writer from the Associated Press. She joins us every Monday at this time. Eddie George, assuming it's going to happen, it's been widely reported, nothing official yet, but we're expecting that to come down the pike very soon. What do you make of the move? And, I was talking earlier with Greg and Charlie about it. I think we're going to see, a pattern with these HBCUs hiring big-name guys to come in and coach. It's going to help recruiting. It's going to help, national exposure. I mean, I don't know what kind of coach Eddie's going to be, but it's exciting news for Tennessee State and the city as well, right?
Well, guess what? Tennessee State used to be known for all the talent that it produced. I mean, you can go through and start ticking off a bunch of names, but over the last 10, 15 years, not many. And so, this immediately gets them on the national landscape. It kind of does for TSU what hiring Deion Sanders did for Jackson State. It is attention because those names bring people to talk about and report on how that school's doing, how that coach is doing, that would be ignoring them before. I'll be honest, Southern Heritage Classic is probably a game that's now on my calendar for this fall that wasn't before because of the two coaches involved. So mm-hmm. I'm not going to be the only one. So that's where Mickey Allen is making the gamble that, that Eddie with his connections, Eddie with his experience can do for, but most importantly, Eddie with his name and his brand will bring attention to the TSU brand that they haven't been able to get in quite a long time.
Yeah, over 100 players from TSU have played in the NFL, mm-hmm. by the way. And, of course, they have three Hall of Famers, should have four.
Right, with
Too Tall Jones. But, the thing about it the entire time, talking with Rod Reif, we've talked a lot about this, and certainly it all boiled down to winning. And 11 years, last three season losing season, 7-14 in OVC play the last 3 years, and that's the bottom line, regardless of who is going to follow Rod. And I talked to, I'm told John this, talked to Rod last night. He's okay. He's in a good place, and you move forward. He will land on his feet, and that's the thing I'm happy about. But you talk about TSU in general, and I've got, can I give her my line? I'm so proud of
it.
Yeah,
you should.
If this is indeed going to be the case, when you go in and recruit somebody, you got to go after and get their mom on your side. Well, the difference between Deion and Eddie is that the mom wants to party with Deion and wants to marry Eddie.
That's very true, and I mean that's the thing. There's a big difference there. No matter how much Deion has maybe changed his life in the last few years, but I'll just say this: I was over at TSU yesterday. I'm working on a story that's moving this week. On the OVC having played games this season on Sundays, and people going from church to football this season, and so yeah, it was just. Talk to Rod on Thursday. He's been a great guy, great coach over there. And for any coach, I mean, that's the thing. This pandemic, they've had to nurse their players through there, make game changes. People get pulled for contact tracing right beforehand. And at the end of the season, the one thing that didn't stop, the pandemic didn't stop, coaches, getting fired and hired. And, that's continued regardless.
Obviously, it was a very interesting press conference with Vrabel last week, but he did, as Buck pointed out, did say that he might not be done forming his staff. Jim Schwartz comes over as senior defensive assistant. Obviously, he has a history here with the Titans. What did you make of that hire?
And I'm just glad he could point that out for us.
And by the way, in case you didn't know, T, I know you know this, but Mike Vrabel's the head coach, Todd Downing's the offensive coordinator, and Shane Bowen's the defensive coordinator, just in case you didn't know.
What I'll do, I'll text you a complete coaching staff, okay? That way you'll know.
Don't forget, Craig Aukerman is the special team.
Oh, sorry about that. Sorry about that. Yeah.
Well, listen, can I just say this? A coach can determine his tone, okay? We ask the questions. He decides how he answers. And, you know, so, you know, we can quibble about how a coach answers things. He only has to be responsible and accountable to his bosses, in this case, John Robinson and Amy Adams Strong, and, fans. So, you know, and right now.
And who's the conduit to those fans, Teresa?
It is us.
Yes.
But guess what, Greg? I hate to, you know, do fans care how we're treated? No. Because you have to be fan. We don't ask tough enough questions. We don't ask the questions they'd ask.
Oh, especially when Malarkey was here. I got that every day.
Teresa, I understand that. He can do whatever he wants to do. He's only answerable to his bosses. However, you know, don't insult the people who are there doing a job who actually try to act professionally toward you and show you the respect by coming up with some crap answer, okay? That's all I say. Why go there? If he didn't think that defensive coordinator question was going to come up in his first availability since the move, then he's foolish. And so why even go there? Just say, hey, say nice things. Just, I don't know why you got to go that way. And if, you know, and I understand your point too. I just don't understand why it has to be done that way.
Agreed. I mean, you know, hey, I'm nice to everybody. I got to get away from this machine that's suddenly tearing up outside my house. Sorry about that, guys. The one good thing here to know is that he did bring somebody in. Jim Schwartz is not connected to the, you know, the Belichick tree, aside from the fact that I think he was a scout or did some work at the Browns under Belichick way back in the day. So this is a guy who, you know, he's 10 years with the Titans under Jeff Fisher. You know, head coach at the
back it on up in here.
What's going on over there,
back it on up in here.
I tell you, man, it's like everybody suddenly got, I'm going to go in my closet. But, you know, Jim Schwartz brings a fresh eye. I don't know what's going on outside my house. But Jim Schwartz brings a fresh eye to this defense and a history of being able to get the quarterback on the ground. You know, for all the talk that Mike Vrabel and Shane Bowen have talked about affecting the quarterback, guys, the simplest way to affect a quarterback in the NFL or any level of college football is put him on his back on the ground. And that's what Jim Schwartz's defenses have done regularly over the past couple of decades. So he's got a great track record. He brings a fresh eye. And, you know, that's the thing. You need a fresh eye sometimes. You know, this team did great. Defense last year, not so much. 19 sacks isn't going to cut it in the NFL. Because if you're only getting 19 sacks, I'm sorry, you're not getting that many pressures on them either. So this is a good move. And to me, you know, there's been a lot of talk about how confident, maybe arrogant Mike Vrabel can be at times, particularly with us. But here's the thing. If he's at least bringing in somebody from the outside to give feedback for his defense to make it better, that indicates to me a desire to make sure that you're better and that you're not just listening to the same old, same old.
Brewers and the Cubs, 2-3 up in Milwaukee tonight, tomorrow night, and Wednesday afternoon. So go Brewers.
I can't say much. It already feels like next year with the Cubs. You know, they either get home runs or nothing. So there you go.
Welcome to my life as a Yankee fan.
Yeah, well,
home run or strike out.
Thank you, Teresa.
And
appreciate it.
Judge is hurt. Thanks, T.
Thank you, guys.
Take care.
Speaking
She's got
of
a lot going on over there at the house, talking to us jabronis and you know.
Backing it up. Backing up in here.
Backing up.
You know, we're talking about baseball. You know, I love baseball. 2 weeks in, excited so much that it's back. Nothing like watching a game. Great weather, a cold drink, a frosty one, if you like. A little action on FanDuel Sportsbook as well. If you've never bet on baseball, it's the perfect time to give it a shot. FanDuel is letting new users swing for the fences risk-free. You'll get up to $1,000 back in site credit if your first bet doesn't win. Listen to this. If you bet all the way up to $1,000, you don't win it, you get it all back. And once you have an account, you get up to $25 back each day in site credit if your same game parlay bet falls one leg short. This way you can combine multiple baseball bets for an even bigger win all season long. There's a reason FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one sportsbook. The app, simple to use. Great odds on all the different betting markets, unique fun bet types like same game parlays and always on promotions to let you get more action out of every game when you win FanDuel. You'll win your money. You get it within as little as 24 hours. And look for pitchers. Early on, if you're going to play, look at pitching matchups, and don't be afraid to, you know, lay a little bit of higher odds to ride the hot pitchers, especially early in the season. That's a little of my advice. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with the promo code GREGP to get in on the action. FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code GREGP.
Greg P, that is, John.
Hang on a second. I want to write this down. The promo code, you're telling me the promo code is Greg P?
It is. Greg P. Okay. Has been and will
I'm writing it down. See me writing it down right now?
Here's the dang pen. 21 and older, present in Tennessee. First online real money wager. Only risk-free bet. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit. Expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. Just look up sportsbook.fanduel.com for the details. Gambling problem, call TN Redline 1-800-889-9789. We're wide open to the top of the hour. Call us, 615-844-5600.
Are you looking to start your own home gym? Hey guys, it's Zach, and I've got the hookup for you. Premier Fitness Source has opened a new location here in the Nashville area, and they are there to help you build the gym of your dreams. They can help you with residential and commercial exercise equipment and with the entire process from design to sales, installation, and maintenance. They are located at 101 Creekside Crossing, Suite 700 in Brentwood. From ellipticals to weight benches, they have all the tools you need to achieve your health and fitness goals. Go check out their website at premierfitnesssource.com or go see them in Brentwood at 101 Creekside Crossing, Suite 700 next to Publix. And check out their Instagram at PFS_Tennessee. Be sure to tell them that we sent you to receive a free gift. Again, that address is 101 Creekside Crossing, Suite 700 in Brentwood. At Premier Fitness Source, they are committed to more than your satisfaction.
Dad, guess what?
What?
You are going to be a grandfather.
That's great. You're going to be a wonderful mom, and I can't wait to be a grandpa. Not too long ago, moments like this with my daughter would have been a challenge. It was a long road for me to find myself again after Vietnam. I struggled to connect with almost everyone and preferred being alone. It was my neighbor Jim, another Vietnam veteran, who finally convinced me that I could still connect with my family and find that fulfilling life I'd lost. In fact, I called Jim first with the news about my granddaughter, Lizzie. Hey, Jim, I'm going to be a grandfather.
Congratulations, Dave.
Hey, let's get together and celebrate.
Well, as long as you're not grilling.
My pride was my armor, but I didn't know it then. I couldn't put it into words. I was sad, I was scared, I felt alone. I didn't know how to reach out, so I hid behind anger and silence. But then I decided to listen to Jim, and I went for help down at the VA. If I can take that first step after almost 50 years, I know other veterans can too. Visit maketheconnection.net to find out more.
Before you move in and start making a lifetime of memories, there's something you should remember. The value of working with a realtor. A realtor is more than an expert in the field who abides by a code of ethics. A realtor is your neighbor and your ally. Someone who puts your agenda ahead of theirs. Someone who understands your dreams and has the expertise to make them a reality. Finding the right place starts with you and a realtor and the doors we open together. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. That's who we are.
Napa Know How.
Get a 5-quart jug of Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil and a platinum filter for just $26.48. They're like the only couple you don't mind inviting over. They help you with your car, they save you money, and they never display their affection publicly. That's Napa Full Synthetic and a platinum filter for $26.48. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
General States pricing. Sales prices not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer ends 4/30/21.
Redneck Nation Radio is on Nashville Sports Radio.
I'm Ryan Johansson of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Ryan Ellis of the Nashville Predators.
Catch one of Music City's longest-running radio shows devoted solely to the Nashville Predators.
I'm Roman Yossi of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Matt Duchesne of the Nashville Predators, and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie.
Every game day morning at 5, Captain Crazy Charlie Saunier and the Renegades of Puck, Nashville Sports Radio, and Redneck Nation, a match made in hockey.
Sports
Radio, WNSR 615-844-5600. If you want to give us a call, Teresa Walker tweeting out after her interview. Of course, it sounded like they were backing up the Brinks truck there to drop off her paycheck. But she tweeted out, sorry, guys, turns out the street sweeper decided to work on a stretch outside my home office. So
going down, yeah. Down, baby, your street in a Range Rover, street sweeper, baby.
So, funny stuff. 615-844-5600. If you want to give us a call, put you on. We got open phones till the top of the hour. Get to the TSU thing. Predators tomorrow night with Tampa Bay.
Your boy will be in the building.
Yeah, good for you. How did that hook up?
I'm a board member for the Predators social justice initiative called Guider. And we're all going to meet before the game because a lot of us haven't met because this thing was formed during COVID. So it's going to be a meet and greet, and we're going to enjoy the game and get to know one each other a little bit better. So I'm looking forward to it. I haven't been to a game in since the pandemic. So I'm looking forward to being back in the building in Bridgestone.
Few other things. I see where is Clowney going to go to the Cleveland Browns?
Talks are progressing from what I understand. A second visit, he's in Cleveland today talking with the team. So could be an announcement today that a deal gets done. He's not coming back here. We know that. They need somebody opposite Myles Garrett on their defensive line. And they're a team a lot like the Titans, Greg, where they have a really good dynamic offense that can score points. But their defense needs to be addressed. And so if they can do that, if they can shore up that defense, they're going to be a real contender, I think, in the AFC next year. So it'd be a good move for him if they can get it done. Although he spurned them last year from what we heard, right?
Yeah, if they didn't come to the, 18, 20 million? Yeah,
he wanted 20. Yeah. He was going to settle, quote unquote, for 18. And what did he sign here for? 12 and a half?
Yeah.
For zero sacks.
Yeah.
And one forced fumble.
With some.
And he got hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some incentive. It was an incentive-laden. Yeah,
right. Yeah. And that's probably what he's going to get to, just to get paid for the number of games. Mm-hmm.
I think he learned a lesson last
but
year.
But he's not signed a true sack guy. Okay?
Right.
I'm not, maybe one or two, but that's not
He's solid against the run.
Yeah.
He can disrupt passing lanes with his length. He can cause turnovers, that kind of thing. Hopefully he learned a lesson last year. Sign with a team early. Get in with them, learn their defense, get yourself ready to go. Because I think he really thought that he was going to just sit, he could sit out and get a big money contract last year, and it didn't work out for him. And so, he's at the point now where the demand for him is not as high. So you're probably going to have to take that 1-year deal way below what you want and do a prove it type deal. But I think he'd be a nice fit in Cleveland with Myles Garrett on the other side.
All right, we'll take a break. We got room for a call or two after it, 615-844-5600.
Now that 2020 is behind us, let's make 2021 the most relaxing year. Bokhara Salon and Spa is located on the fourth floor of the Omni Nashville Hotel. And Bokhara Salon and Spa offers a full-service spa experience. Relax in the comfort of the signature Bokhara Spa as you're pampered with the ultimate spa experience. Make time for a soothing facial, massage, manicure, or pedicure as you rejuvenate in this refined, quiet oasis. Your treatment begins in the exquisite relaxation room. And whether you're enjoying a signature body treatment or just visiting the salon, you are sure to enjoy every minute of Mokhara Salon and Spa. Open Friday through Sunday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. To make an appointment, call 615-761-3600. Mokhara Salon and Spa, relaxing you in 2021. Located on the fourth floor of the Omni Nashville Hotel, Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hi, I'm Vivica Fox. For more than 100 years, American Humane has been helping our best friends in their worst times. During hurricanes, tornadoes, and increasingly, wildfires. They're real heroes to these animals. But Mother Nature isn't the only danger that animals face. Sometimes it's human nature that's the greatest threat. Each year, more than 6 million beautiful adoptable animals are being abandoned, and more than 1 million are euthanized before they can be rescued. These animals need heroes too. Heroes to open up their hearts and homes and to give them the love they deserve. Be a hero to an animal in need. Consider becoming an American Humane Rescue Volunteer or adopt from your local shelter. Visit AmericanHumane.org to find out how you can be a hero and help our best friends in their worst times.
Willard's Roofing Renovations of Middle Tennessee, our premier veteran-owned and operated exterior expert, is reminding Americans to show support to the brave men and women who serve our U.S. military. Visit USO.org to see how you can send a military care package today. This message is from Willard's Roofing Renovations of Middle Tennessee. For roofing, siding, gutter, storm damage, restoration, insurance claims, and more, call today at 615-956-5775. Willard's Roofing Renovations of Middle Tennessee, proudly saluting our troops and veterans.
Your exclusive national sports radio, WNSR Skyscan forecast. Today's going to be sunny with a high of 78. Partly cloudy tonight, low 52. Tuesday, partly sunny with a stray afternoon shower, high 70. Wednesday, partly sunny, can't rule out a shower, high 66. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
If you want to get on here, Charlie, let us know if we got any calls, please. And what do you got going on today?
Not much. Probably a nap, catch up on some pro wrestling that I missed over the weekend. Impact had their show during the day on Saturday, and I might check out some more WrestleMania from the weekend. And you know what I'm going to start doing? I got to start getting the mocks out. Got to, you know, start doing some draft prep. You know, I really haven't dug into the draft. I mean, I think we know what the Jaguars are going to do at one, but well, the Titans picking 22 in the first round. Mm-hmm. So I imagine they're going to go defense. So I think I'm going to get some mocks out and start doing some research on some of these players and just kind of get a feel for what the Titans might do. Because was it 2 weeks from Thursday?
Yep.
It's a draft?
Yeah,
wow,
the first round. Yeah, that Thursday.
Yeah, I just think back to a couple of years ago when we had it here. It was amazing. What an incredible weekend that was. You know, we were broadcasting live from downtown. It was me and Carrie Sharp up above Nudie's and just looking out and seeing the sea of people all the way down the lower Broadway, at the end of lower Broadway, the stage, not the bar. Shout out to the stage, the bar. It's a great place. But the actual stage where the draft was taking place, it's pretty amazing. And, you know, I'm really happy that Cleveland's going to be able to experience it somewhat this year. Maybe not full scale, but you know they'll be something there.
Also, we didn't mention this local angle on something. The Xfinity race at Martinsville yesterday.
Yeah.
They had two. They had the, you know, the regular Cup race won by Martin Truex, two in a row, three of the last four. But the Xfinity race was won by Hendersonville's John Barry. He drives for Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s team. Cut his teeth right down the which way? This way. I keep pointing that way for the fairgrounds. That's the zoos that way.
That's a,
the fairgrounds
that's
this way.
That's a visual thing on the radio.
Yes,
Greg.
It is right over there. But cut his teeth on the fairgrounds.
Yeah, pretty cool. Yep, we talked about last night on the show, and also wanted to get to this former UT track star Bianca Belair. As Eric mentioned earlier, won the WWE Women's Championship Saturday night at WrestleMania. She was an All-America at UT running track. She was a hurdler and a sprinter. She was All-SEC a bunch of times. Her given name is Bianca Blair. She wrestles professionally as Bianca Belair. And she's been a fast rising star in the WWE and really exciting for her. It was a great moment for her. She closed out night one of WrestleMania. She was the last match on the card for the first night. They split WrestleMania up into two nights this year. And she closed out night one. And so the first show went off the air with her holding the belt and really excited to see what her future is. So she ran track at UT. And then when she left school, she was doing CrossFit for a while. She's a phenomenal athlete. I mean, just a naturally gifted athlete, strength, size, all that kind of stuff. And she was doing CrossFit for a while and decided to give pro wrestling a try, and she took to it very quickly. She's been on the WWE main roster for less than a year, and they already had her win a major championship at their biggest show of the year. So congratulations to Bianca Belair, new WWE Women's Champion. And she beat a really good wrestler in Sasha Banks to do it.
Well, and she's, I'm just looking at her. I just Googled her. Yeah, attractive young lady on top of everything else. And, man, she's...
Oh, yeah.
She's fit.
She's built for battle.
Yes.
She's in phenomenal shape. She did one spot a few weeks ago on the SmackDown show where she fireman's carried a 330-pound man, this dude Otis, for like 20 yards. Like, she's incredibly strong, incredibly fast. She has potential to be one of the greatest women's wrestlers of all time. But, you know, we all know what pro wrestling is and what it isn't. It's about how they're used, how they're booked, storylines, that kind of thing. But from a physical standpoint, you see it. She's very gifted.
Probably already should have known about her. She was all SEC and all American hurdler at Tennessee. I'm reading.
I literally just said that.
Yeah, I know. No, I mean, but South Carolina, Texas A&M.
Yeah, she bounced around schools and then she's from Knoxville. Originally, so she,
Austin East High School.
Yes.
Hey, all right. I've learned some things this morning.
Yeah. So
thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm really happy for her. That was really cool. Really cool moment at WrestleMania.
So tonight, what do we have tonight? I wrote it down.
Grizzlies played last night.
Yeah, we got Braves baseball tonight at the Marlins, 6:50. The pregame, 7:05. The first pitch. The Braves and the Marlins, of course, coming off. I don't understand how you don't overturn
that. Egregious.
If people didn't see it, the play at home plate in the top of the ninth inning gave the Phillies the 7-6 lead. And, you know, to our caller earlier, you take care of business. You don't put yourself in the situation where a bad call. But if you, I just don't get it. The angle from behind the plate clearly shows that he did not touch
it was
home
egregious.
Plate. And then it didn't get overturned. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, and there, that's you know, an MLB. I mean, there's no more accountability up the flagpole, right?
Right.
It's tough.
So what are you doing today? It's a nice night. You're gonna get the grill out?
I don't know yet. Don't know.
Cook some sausages, a couple steaks?
Definitely watch Brewers and the Cubs. Yeah. I'll pay attention to the Braves. Always watching the Braves.
Right.
Anyway, we got them on tonight as well. Plaz in here at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Have yourself a great weekend. We're back in here tomorrow morning. Be safe. Jim Rome next.
WPDQ Frank Sparrow.